Truth Seekers. Mark Malone here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while. We have fun and frivolity for you this evening of a most macabre sort, so stick around. Repeat after me before we get too far into the program. Waterboarding is not blank. Waterboarding is blank. Waterboarding is not blank. Waterboarding is blank. Waterboarding is not blank. Blank is not blank. Blank is blank blank. Blank is blank blank. Blank 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 blank. Blank 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 blank. This is the way testimony is given now in front of congressional hearings, whether behind closed doors or out in front of the public or in the briefing room. It really doesn't make any difference. You start eliminating words. Not you, not me. They start eliminating words. The Bush crime family. Waterboarding is blank. Waterboarding is not blank. Blank is blank. Blank is not blank. Blank, blank, not blank. Blank, 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 blank. You see how easy it is? You just redact as you go along. We'll have a little bit of that coming up in the program tonight. A couple of emails that have come in since our last meeting. This is from Stephen in Fort Lewis, Washington, who is obviously a veteran. He writes, Mike, you're 100% correct about the dogs in Iraq. What he's referencing here is my statement last night that the Bush Justice Department that filed the complaint against Michael Vick that resulted in Michael Vick, former Atlanta Falcons quarterback, going to prison for 2 years, federal prison for 2 years, for the murder of dogs, the destruction, torture of dogs, which is a nasty crime. Of course, the same Justice Department is the one who wrote the rules authorizing blank, authorizing the use of blank to perpetrate, I should say, blank against blank. So you see, when Michael Vick kills dogs, it's horrifying. When the Justice Department authorizes blank or blank, then it really is blank unless it turns out to be blank. Isn't this fun? We had commented the other night that I asked a question, I guess more or less a rhetorical question. How many dogs have been killed in the bombing and the murdering in Iraq? How many dogs have been butchered by Blackwater? How many dogs have been butchered by DynCorp? How many dogs have been butchered by roadside explosive devices? How many dogs, you see, on and on and on. Is it because they are Iraqi dogs that there is not more of a hue and cry? Is it because they are dying, these dogs, 7,000 miles away in all sorts of different time zones? Is it because they are dogs who wouldn't understand an English command? I don't know. But Stephen in Fort Lewis has an answer. Mike, you're 100% correct about dogs in Iraq. I couldn't believe all of the dead dogs that I saw while in Iraq. Soldiers think nothing about running them over. I couldn't do that. I almost wrecked a couple of times trying to avoid hitting dogs. Take care. Stephen, Fort Lewis, Washington. Soldiers think nothing about running them over. A certain NFL quarterback, Michael Vick, thought nothing about killing them. I just am still having a hard time, not with Michael Vick being taken to court and charged with crimes because of what he did with his bad news kennels, but the fact that every single day this filthy Bush administration gets away with murder of human beings. It's hard for me to deal with that, Truth Seeker.
Wasn't there a story not that long ago, I think it was in Afghanistan or something, where Al-Qaeda, CNN was going to show this video of Al-Qaeda decapitating a dog on camera or something. Do you remember that?
I don't. I think what you
carry on.
No, I think what you're talking about was Abu Sayyaf, which is a Filipino.
I'm sorry, the Filipino Al Qaeda people.
Right, a Filipino. Well, it's not even Al Qaeda. I don't think they're a separatist organization. They want one of the islands in the Filipinos to be exclusively Muslim instead of Catholic. and they had decapitated dogs or something, and CNN was going to let us see into the bag of dog heads.
Well,
and then they didn't.
As the late, great Gilda Radner would say, never mind.
Never mind. Ed from Medway, Mass. writes, Mike, I have to correct you on a fact usually spread by right-wingers, but a common mistake. Last night you said that Kennedy actually lost the 1960 election because of chicanery in Illinois. Though this probably in fact did occur, one example being the alleged voting by dead people in Cook County, and even though I've heard of possible Republican fraud downstate in Illinois, it really didn't matter. Kennedy won the election over Nixon, 303 electoral votes to 219 for Nixon. 15 went to Senator Harry Byrd of Virginia. So, if we go ahead and give Illinois' 27 votes to Nixon, the election still will go to Kennedy, 276 to 246. Whenever a Republican says to me that I shouldn't complain about Bush in 2000, after all, Kennedy stole Illinois, I simply say, if it were in my power to go back and give Illinois to Nixon, I would. Now, will you give Florida to Gore? I have yet to have anyone say they would. Ed in Medway, Mass. Thanks, Ed. I completely forgot that rather salient fact about the electoral vote. So appreciate the correction. This is from Marvin in Scottsdale, Arizona. Excuse me. Marvin writes, Mike, you're the only media personality I know of who has wondered aloud about Michael Vick being downed by the white power structure. He's making reference to what I said last night about another parade. It's just an ongoing parade of prominent black males. It's just my questioning. Just, that's all. You know, the two very prominent African-American sports figures, Barry Bonds, Michael Vick. I don't have to go down the list of other prominent blacks who all of a sudden, black men, all of a sudden have their knees cut out from under them. And okay. He was dogfighting. Okay. And Barry Bonds hasn't gone anywhere except the team that he was on when he set the home run record has said, goodbye, Barry, we don't want you anymore. So, you know, whatever. But that's what I was referring to. And Marvin writes, Mike, you're the only media personality I know of who has wondered aloud about Michael Vick being downed by the white power structure. And then Marvin writes, God, I haven't used that term since the 70s. And it feels good. As a black man, Marvin writes, in America, I suppose it's up to me to point out the irony of Alberto Gonzalez's Justice Department, the same Justice Department that condones torturing and sometimes accidentally killing human beings, indicted, convicted, imprisoned, and stripped Vick of his professional career, his wealth, his personal freedom for torturing and killing a small number of vicious animals. The takeaway from this for me is the difference between 1960s white liberals and 2000s white progressives. The liberals of the 60s understood they were dismantling their own racial preference system, yet never took their eyes off the prize. Progressives must stop pretending that race is not a significant element in every decision that has been made and forever will be reached in our country. It was this moral clarity above all other issues which gave the left the power to defeat the reactionary ultra-conservative right, and which everyone now, except us black folks, pretend is the center of America's political spectrum. Power to the people. Marvin in Scottsdale. And he writes, P.S. Naomi Klein, wherever you are, welcome to the struggle. I'm glad Marvin wrote, because I got a couple of emails that were brief, and there's no point in my repeating them, saying, you know, there you go again, condemning white America because a black man was caught committing a crime. And that obviously, or actually, was not my point at all. I asked a question because it's just damn strange, isn't it, that finally the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, what was yesterday, that the use of crack cocaine, a black thing, and the use of powder cocaine, a white thing, should be treated equally before the law, which it hasn't been for 20 years since the mid-80s, when the rule was made that Negroes who use cocaine would go to prison at a much higher rate and for much longer than Caucasians. Oh, nah, couldn't be.
Out there, sing along, okay? Dead, 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 dead.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour, the addendum and errata section of this program continues. Now we get to what Pelosi knew about torture in 2002. Last night I quoted rather extensively from Spencer Ackerman writing at Talking Points Memo, TPM Muckraker. About a briefing on CIA interrogation techniques, and there were a couple of things that need correcting here, and Spencer has corrected them. He writes, a Pelosi aide responding to our questions walked us through it. According to the aide, the briefing that Nancy Pelosi received in September 2002, when she was the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, did not cover any interrogation techniques then in use by the CIA. Administration officials, quote, said these were possible techniques they might use in the future but were not being used yet, end quote, says the aide. The aide doesn't know, quote, if the term waterboarding was used, end quote, by the Bush crime family briefer. Spencer goes on, no objection was raised at the time by Pelosi to what she was told were, quote, possible techniques, end quote. But the aide is unsure if Pelosi left the briefing clear on what those possible techniques actually entailed. The aide says, quote, her briefing was not as extensive as the Washington Post story implies, end quote. Now, Jane Harman, Pelosi's colleague, quote, quote, in the delegation, congressional delegation from California. Spencer notes that Representative Jane Harman took Pelosi's spot on the committee in 2003. It was only then that the administration told the committee chiefs that the techniques listed in the 2002 briefing, quote, were actually being used, end quote. Harman, not Pelosi, was briefed at the time. The aide says, quote, Harman objected, which Pelosi thought was the right thing to do, and would have done if she had been the ranking member, end quote. Pelosi, however, did not sign her name to a letter Harman sent to the CIA that Harman sent that February after receiving the briefing. Harman has asked the CIA to declassify the letter, which she has described as expressing concern over the interrogation techniques put into place and warning the CIA against destroying any interrogation recordings. The Pelosi aide says, quote, Harman told her she was sending it, and Pelosi agreed with that decision, end quote. The aide goes on to say, quote, Pelosi and Harman are on the same page on this, end quote. So, and then there's a little bit more here. Spencer writes, there remains a dispute about what exactly that September 2002 briefing detailed. The Washington Post quoted former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Porter Goss as saying, quote, among those being briefed, there was a pretty full understanding of what the CIA was doing, end quote, which implies that the briefing discussed techniques then in use. But the then Democratic chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Bob Graham, told the Washington Post that he didn't know, despite the briefings, what the CIA was up to. Graham said, quote, personally, I was aware of it. I was unaware of it, so I couldn't object, end quote. Now, how much of this is buck passing and ass covering and how much is true isn't at this moment clear. But the reason, and thanks to Spencer for the clarification, the reason I think it's important is because you never know where this stuff comes from. And I was very quick to jump yesterday on both Bob Graham and Nancy Pelosi and Jane Harman, which is my bad. I guess I should wait at least one 24-hour cycle before, casting aspersions or condemning the Democratic Party leadership in these instances. Because, again, nobody ever knows where the leaks or the points of view come from. It's just all of a sudden it's out there. And there are a number of suckers in media, one of them is named Mike Malloy, apparently, who grabs this stuff and instantly reports it as fact. And I think Stuart Spencer, I should say, Ackerman at Talking Points Memo might have been given the same kind of greasy ride as I got. But when you consider the Washington Post as your source, now I understand, I'm not talking about the Washington Post editorial page, which is pretty slimy of late. But usually Washington Post reporters try, or I think they try, maybe they don't anymore, to try to get the story as correct as possible. In this instance, it's very clear now that they did not. So my apologies to anyone who was listening to the program last night who formed an opinion about Pelosi, Harmon, or Graham based on what I said. What I said was not absolutely correct. Maybe. You see, it's still not absolutely 100% clear. Oh, I know. It makes me crazy, too. All right, we'll be back after the break. Stick around. We know now the religious extremist Tony Perkins has explained about those shootings in Colorado the other day, and you may want to hear this. Also, yes, we have some too much cappuccino Perino for you. Not much, but a little. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 25 before the hour. Lauren writes in from the Great White North. Hi, Mike. I believe the reason, this is regarding racism in sports, I believe the reason these guys are in trouble is because of their testosterone use, not their race. I abhor the idolization of sports figures and think they are generally really bad role models. Here in Edmonton, the average person idolizes the very white Wayne Gretzky, despite the fact that he's a high school dropout, has a cocaine arrest in the past, and chooses to return to Canada only for the endless ceremonies our city holds to honor him. I will never understand why the physical ability to repeat a certain action, whether hitting a hockey puck or kicking a football, entitles one to huge rewards and adulation. I think our so-called Western culture would be better off if we worshipped people who make a contribution to society. And kicking a ball or hitting a puck, no matter how accurately, contributes nothing to anyone's well-being. Well, yeah, I hear you, Lauren. I agree with you 100%, except the rush of, what are those good chemicals you get in your brain, Kathy, when something feels good? The endorphins, yeah. When Gretzky scores a goal or, never mind. And Mike in St. Paul, regarding Barry Bonds, golly Wally asked the Beeve, why hasn't Mark McGwire been charged with a crime? Come on, Beeve. Everyone knows McGwire is just a nice guy who made a mistake. Not like that off-color Barry Bonds. Yeah. Well, most of you get it. I think you get it. Lauren gets it. Mike gets it. I think everybody gets it. Al Babe sent it to me. The religious extremist Tony Perkins, he's the with the Family Research Council. He said that the blame for the tragic shooting at that megachurch in Colorado yesterday, he blames it on the secular media. The secular media. Who does he mean? Fox News Channel? In the email, which was sent under the name of Family Research County or Family Research Council Action. President Tony Perkins, Family Research Council says, quote, it's hard not to draw a line between the shooting and hostility by some in the secular media toward Christians, end quote. See, this is another reason religion makes me want to vomit. It's hard not to draw a line between the hostility that is being fomented in our culture from some in the secular media toward Christians and evangelicals in particular, and the acts of violence, Perkin goes on, that took place in Colorado yesterday. I will say no more for now, other than that our friends at New Life Church and the YWAM are in our thoughts and prayers. End quote. Well, quoting what I have here, when Perkins can't explain why this sick young man turned against his own church and why God spared some people but allowed others to be slaughtered, he sloughs it off on evil secularists. Tony, do you think that the fact this kid was kicked out of the missionary school he shot up had anything to do with it? Isn't it possible that this rejection may have driven him to, oh, I don't know, seek revenge? Tony, you overly white idiot, the secular media didn't reject this young man, nor did it give him access to the gun. Tony, you might want to look at the real root causes of this tragedy rather than blaming the secular media. Oh, these people turn my stomach. Ah. Okay, this is the last one before we get General Thomas Hartman and Senator Lindsey Graham before you for your listening pleasure. This is from Cheryl. Subject line says, Poetry Night, I need Mike's ice pick. This is what Cheryl writes. Kathy and Mike, please give us plenty of notice regarding the possible scheduling of Poetry Night so I can make other plans. Maybe wash my hair or smear my legs with Nair. Maybe watch the Weather Channel or paint my nails with enamel. Maybe play solitaire or wash my underwear. Maybe scrub the floors or just get bombed on Coors. I listened to you to keep from going insane, not to hear the inane poetry instead of Malloy. Ick. If forced to listen, I'll have to borrow your ice pick.
Now, were they all that witty, we would do it every night.
All right, Thomas Hartman, excuse me, first of all, CIA Director Michael Hayden, who showed up today for his secret testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee, he showed up in his glorious uniform with all, what is he, Hayden has 4 stars, I believe, isn't he? Yeah. So he was there, sort of his, you know, another Oliver North moment. But while Hayden was testifying behind closed doors today, there was another hearing going on. But according to the Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman, Senator Jay Rockefeller, who is starting to make me just a little bit nervous about what a little bit. Jay Rockefeller said Hayden failed to answer central questions about the destruction of the secret videotapes. Well, of course. Rockefeller called the committee's 90-minute session in private with Hayden, quote, a useful and not yet complete hearing, end quote. What do you mean by that, Jay? Huh? Meanwhile, there was an open-door Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the legal rights of Guantanamo detainees today. And Guantanamo legal advisor General Thomas Hartman did testify about waterboarding, and things got kind of testy. Now, this general was not the one who was scheduled to appear. The person who was scheduled to appear was Colonel Morris Davis, the chief prosecutor for the military commissions at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, until October 4th, the day he resigned his position, because he realized that open trials are not possible under the current system, especially where it concerned torture. So he was going to testify today. The Defense Department through through Gates, who I'm sure got his orders on this one from Cheney, the colonel did not appear, Morris Davis. Instead, they sent a one-star, a brigadier, General Thomas Hartman. Now, listen to this exchange between Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. And Lindsey Graham, by the way, worked for a period of time, I think he may still on a reserve basis, with the Judge Advocate General's office, which, if I'm not mistaken, is kind of like working for a prosecutor's office. Lindsey Graham and General Hartman. Hartman refused to answer the question if waterboarding is torture and therefore violates the Geneva Convention.
General Hartman, do you believe waterboarding violates the Geneva Convention?
I was asked that earlier, Senator, and with regard to this entire issue, we start with the following premise. Torture is illegal in the United States.
We have a downed airman in Iran. We get a report that the Iranian government is involved in the exercise of waterboarding that downed airman on the theory they want to know when the next military operation may occur. What would be the response of... What should be the response of uniform legal community regarding the activity of the Iranian government?
I'm not equipped to answer that question, Senator.
You are.
I will tell you the answer to the question that you asked in the beginning, Senator. And that
you mean you're not equipped to give a legal opinion as to whether or not Iranian military waterboarding, secret security agents waterboarding down airmen is a violation of the Geneva Convention?
I am not prepared to answer that question, Senator.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you. I have no further questions. Now, when you get down to the level where Lindsey Graham turns his back on you in disgust, I think it's pretty clear that the military establishment in this country, has become corrupted. Now, there are higher ranking flag officers. This Hartman guy is a brigadier. It means he's just one step above a colonel. Not that big of a deal to have a brigadier general sit there and talk like a total jackass because he is under orders. He wants his second and third star, maybe a fourth one before he retires. So he's certainly not going to sit there and offer an opinion. Why should he offer an opinion? But what Graham was saying was pretty clear. If the United States, under this sick grip of people like Dick Cheney and Alberto Gonzalez, have opened the door for our people to be waterboarded and tortured, and such an instance happens, is the United States prepared to label that torture? Now, these cowardly sons of bitches who are in the uniforms of the United States military sit there in front of committees and refuse to answer. Obviously, because if they answer A, then B follows naturally. If the Iranians do it and it's torture, and we do it, it's the same torture.
Humanitarian needs. We understand the fright that can come when you're worried about a rocket landing on top of your home.
It's about 9 before the hour. So why do you suppose, Truth Seeker, that the man scheduled to, former chief prosecutor, military prosecutor at Guantanamo, who is scheduled to testify before the House or the Senate today. Why do you suppose the Defense Department said, no, he can't come. We'll send General Thomas Hartman instead. Why do you suppose that is, huh? If they are worried about the terrorists taking notes, they could conduct the questioning behind closed doors. And if they want to avoid a perjury trap, which is the reason Bush and Cheney never testify under oath, because they would then could be charged with perjury, they could insist that the former prosecutor, Morris Davis, Colonel Morris Davis, not be sworn in. What has happened to the U.S. military is it's hard to get your mind around it. Even if you've been convinced, like a lot of people have been convinced for a number of years, that the military is just another corrupt institution run by the United States. But if you believe that the United States military has had moments of courage and bravery and honor in defense of truly in defense of liberty, then you have to accept, don't you, that in the 7 years that George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld were in charge, they've destroyed it. They've turned it into something that you might, it might be a caricature of what the Soviet Union had or some other totalitarian regime where there was no honor at all. The military was used to suppress, violate the law, intimidate, not used in any way, in an honorable way, if such a thing can happen. I've got real mixed feelings. I've said before that, regarding war, and I'm just shocked that we haven't evolved away from that at this point in human history. But as far as the misuse of the U.S. military, an institution that has had moments of honor, many, many moments of honor, to see it corrupted and polluted and destroyed and misused by these filthy chicken hawks that run this country is sad. I can't think of any other way to put it. Too much cappuccino Perino. Doublespeak Dana took to the podium today to once again defend the torture of detainees ordered by the Bush crime family. This reporter begins, Dana, did the questioning of al-Qaeda leader Abu Zubaydah conform with the interrogation program approved by President Bush?
I can't comment on any specifics, so you might want to rephrase your question. What you're asking me is not something that I can confirm or respond to in that way.
I'm asking if it was within the guidelines, the interrogation techniques, was that within the guidelines of these
interrogations approved by President? All interrogations have been done within the legal framework that was set out after September 11th, and they are measures that have been tough and limited. They are safe, and they've been very effective in helping prevent terrorist attacks on this country. But all of the entire program has been legal.
Are you saying that whatever was done in this case was not torture?
I'm saying that the United States does not torture. The president has been...
You if what was done in this case was not torture, in your opinion.
I'm saying the United States does not torture.
And that's all I can say, lest I find myself upside down on the icy slab, too. The horror of this moron who now represents the Bush crime family at these press briefings, the horror in what she says, the interrogations are safe. And how many detainees on the record have been murdered by U.S. interrogators, whether they have been CIA, private contractors, or Defense Department? The last I heard, the number was around 20, somewhere between 10 and 20. So this psychotic latest press fool who stands out there for this murderous regime and makes a statement that they're safe. This is somebody who doesn't know what the Cuban Missile Crisis was. And didn't she major in political science? Oh, never mind. But to make a statement that they're safe, has no one told Dana Perino? Because everybody in that room knows that these interrogation techniques are not safe and that people have died at the hands of U.S. interrogators, whether they were private contractors like, oh, I don't know, Blackwater, CIA, or the Defense Establishment, Defense Department. Anywhere between 10 and 20 people have been tortured to death. And this idiot stands there in front of a room full of people who let her get away with it. Nobody came back and said, Dana, you're crazier than a moon bat. There have been 20 people who have been murdered in the process of being interrogated by some representative of the United States. So you cannot stand there, Dana, and say it's safe. Now, when we come back, I want you to hear another one from Too Much Cappuccino Perino today that is just astonishing. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. We have one more Too Much Cappuccino Perino today. It continued pretty much all day, all during the press briefing, so-called. And why did they continue to have these press briefings? I mean, seriously. No question is answered on a substantive level. The reporters continue to show up. I don't understand this. It's very easy to write them all off as a bunch of high-paid punks who are just there to maintain their job in television or wherever these people work, with a few notable exceptions, of course. But to me, the question remains: why continue to show up for these press briefings, Dana Perino? To an even lesser extent than her three predecessors for this corrupt administration, will not answer anything. So what's the point? Why continue to ask the same questions over and over again, knowing full well, the reporters know full well, before the question is even posed, there is not going to be a substantive answer of any sort. So it continued today. Another reporter finally asked about former CIA officer Kiriakou, the guy who was all over ABC yesterday. ABC Nightly News, he was on ABC This Morning, he was on Nightline, yada, yada, yada. Former CIA officer, Arabic language speaker, and one of the people instrumental in the questioning of, I believe it was Zubaydah? Was it Abu Zubaydah? I'm not sure, but he was... the first actual CIA officer recently out of the CIA to come forward. And again, the question remains, why this guy? Why now? Why is he talking? That is really, truly, if I understand it correctly, against CIA post-employment rules and regulations. You can't even write about your experiences in the CIA without submitting what you have written to the CIA 10 years down the road. So this guy... talking the way he's talking, the whole thing is rather curious, don't you think? But anyway, CIA officer Kiriakou, former CIA officer Kiriakou, defining waterboarding as torture, lots of reporters, including Helen Thomas, then chimed in with questions here. It's going to be kind of confusing. We try to listen to this. So Lightning Lips tries to work the spin cycle, contradicting herself over and over again. I want you to hear this. The reporter begins, "But Dana, when you have a former CIA officer, John Kiriakou, now saying that waterboarding was used, since you're saying the interrogations were legal, he's saying on the record now, waterboarding was used. You're saying waterboarding then is legal?"
I'm not commenting on any specific technique. I'm not commenting on that gentleman's characteristics of any possible technique. I've given you a very general statement about interrogations being legal, limited in this regard.
It was legal. It was within the legal framework.
Yes.
Everything.
So waterboarding is legal?
I'm not commenting on any specific techniques. We've been asked not to comment on it by our counsel's office, and so I'm not going to.
But just generally speaking, I mean, does the president believe it is good practice for the intelligence agencies to be destroying things like tapes of interrogations?
If I were to answer that question the way that you want me to, it would be extrapolated and applied to the specific case at hand. And so, as reasonable as I understand your question to be, I'm in a position where I cannot answer it.
So what's the point of even coming out there, you twit? What's the point in coming out there with that smarmy, patronizing smile that Dana Perino begins every press briefing with? Have you noticed that? An arrogance that even Tony Snow didn't use. Even poor, misbegotten Scott McClellan didn't use. And certainly Ari Fleischer, who was probably smarter than anyone in the press briefing room. I hate to say that because I think Ari Fleischer is a typical AIPAC-sponsored Nazi fascist. He really is. And now, is he the one? Yeah, he's the one, isn't he? Kathy, who is running this company that sponsors the pro-war TV commercials. Isn't that Ari Fleischer? I believe it is. So Fleischer, even though he's Jewish, comes across as a total fascist, a total Nazi. He should know better, shouldn't he? Shouldn't he? But Dana Perino, who is absolutely dumber than a chunk of concrete, just absolutely stupid, but shows up out there with that patronizing, silly grin on her face every day, as though she's going to get over on that press corps, and she does. How does she do it? By, well, you heard her. I can't answer. If I answer the question, you'll extrapolate to the situation. Well, yeah, stupid head, of course. It's very frustrating. But, again, I wonder and wonder and wonder and wonder why anyone in the legitimate press, I don't care if it's mainstream media, blogosphere, why does anybody bother to show up for these half-assed, ridiculous, so-called press briefings? Now, I got an email here from Joanna San Francisco. This is regarding Bernie Ward, who, as you know, has been indicted on child pornography charges. When that news was made public, when was that, Kathy? Was that last Thursday or Friday? I think it was last week. I expressed the, I think, appropriate amount of shock that a fellow progressive liberal talk show host had been charged with that sort of crime. And I also made a couple of comments that, and I've seen on the internet now that a few people in various chat groups have taken offense when I made kind of an offhand comment, not totally offhand because I mean it, that the fact that Bernie Ward was a former Catholic priest, in my mind, puts the question of child sexual activity, whether it is witness or looking at pornography or actually molesting children, on a higher probability plane. I'm sorry. It is not I who have been anything but a witness to 5 years now of explosive case after explosive case of multiple child molestations by Catholic priests. So, yes, I'm pretty much, I guess, like everybody else. When I hear somebody is involved in or accused of something regarding sexual exploitation of children, and I hear that they were a former Catholic priest, click, yeah, something goes off in my head. A little synapse fires. Sorry about that, but that's just the way it goes. And I'm sure for most people, the same thing occurs. I'm not saying that because most people do it, Mikey does it. That's not what I'm saying. But apparently, I've thoroughly pissed off some people, Catholics, and some attorneys, and a lot of progressives because of what I said about Bernie Ward. Now, if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, what I said that night, I was very low-key about it. I said I was going to mention it because it was a news item. I made it very clear my position on anything that has to do with exploitation, sexual exploitation or any sort of exploitation of children. And the fact that I was saddened to hear it, and I hope that Bernie, I don't know if I said it, but I think my intent was I hope Bernie Ward manages to come out of this. I think I also expressed, if I didn't then, I will now, some skepticism about the possibility of his being set up. I think the way I expressed that skepticism was by reading an email or two that explicitly expressed skepticism about why they were going, they being the U.S. Attorney's Office in Northern California, going after Bernie Ward. Now, we'll take a break here, and I want to share with you an email from Joanne in San Francisco, who brings this point up about Bernie Ward. And I think in fairness to the writer, Joanne, I think I should share it with you. And then we'll move on to Mike Huckabee. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. I don't believe my eyes.
And Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Or not. All right, this is from Joanne in San Francisco. She writes, the fired U.S. attorney in San Francisco, Kevin Ryan, refused for 3 years to indict Bernie Ward on the child pornography charges. He was a conservative judge in San Francisco, a go-along, get-along kind of guy, not very smart either. For Kevin Ryan to buck orders from above and refuse to indict Bernie, he had to be sure that there was nothing to the charges. He is too weak to stand up to orders if there was any question in his mind. I retired before he was appointed to the court, but I was a victim in a case before him. He went with whomever he perceived to be the strongest person, not the one who was correct. It is significant that the Bush crime family went after one of two left voices in Northern California. Ray Taliaferro is the other. They covered 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. They're heard all over the world. Now there's only one. I heard what you said about Bernie. He was a priest for a whole 2 years before he realized it was not for him. He worked in Washington for Pelosi for a few years and as a real reporter for KGO, last in Kosovo. He blasts the Roman Church and fake Christians. He's on top of all cruelty in the name of religion. As to those pictures, it makes sense to me that he would look at such stuff because he discusses that and other things of importance with us. It is the hypocrisy that we often discuss, and not on Sunday. It is the importance of the treatment of children and the helpless, of the children and the helpless that he describes and tells us about. He raises money for local charities to help those victims. We talk about local issues. Many have heard about Bush and his crimes for the first time on Bernie Ward's show in between these discussions. We call him the Lion of the Left and Uncle Bernie. He is both. The Bush crime family could not have indicted Bernie Ward without U.S. Attorney Kevin Ryan out of the way. You should have known that. Why is it that the left assumes their guy, who is charged, is probably guilty, while the right shouts to the high heavens that their guy is absolutely innocent? Why do we throw ours to the lions while they supply the lions? Joanne, in her last name, San Francisco. Well, I don't know how I would know the things that you say I should have known, Joanne. I have no idea how I should have known that, which doesn't take away the responsibility on my part for having waited, perhaps, to make whatever comment I made about Bernie Ward. That was probably not good journalism, although I'm not involved in journalism, but I get your point. And you say, why is it the left assumes their guy who is charged is probably guilty? Again, I think my knee-jerk reaction to that comes from the experience of time after time after time, people who were guilty of sexual exploitation of children making the claim that the only reason they had these images, the only reason they were doing this is because they were conducting their own investigation. I mean, that's become a cliche. So, and things become cliches or stereotypes because there is a heavy element of truth that makes them a stereotype to begin with. I'm sorry, but that's, I mean, if you disagree with that, okay. But, I don't know what the evidence is. The indictment is now available online. Anybody can see it. Anybody can go read what the indictment says. And Joanne may certainly not may. She certainly does have more information about this than I do. She says she retired. I assume that means she worked in some legal capacity in San Francisco. I'm guessing on that. But so I don't know how to respond. I don't automatically toss my guy to the lions while the right supplies the lions. I don't think I do that. In the case of the charges against Bernie Ward, I will admit to a quick knee-jerk reaction simply because I think, again, we've had 5 years of just explosive case after explosive case of the violence done to, at the time, children at the hands of priests in the Catholic Church, boys and girls. And child pornography is just an explosive issue. It's something I can't understand what it is about sexual relations with children or sexual exploitation of children is a turn-on to adults. You know, Kathy, who has many, many courses in her education on psychology, abnormal psychology, all sorts of Kraft Ebbing stuff. You know, we've tried to come to terms of understanding this because we have a 3.5-year-old little girl. So I don't know. I can't. If my statements about Bernie Ward were offensive, I do apologize. And by the way, there is a website if you want to participate in the Bernie Ward Defense Fund. Just Google Bernie Ward Defense Fund. The link is too long for me to try to give you on the air. Bernie Ward Defense Fund, and you'll get a link to it. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M. Staying with the program.
imagine one day being able to drive your car with hydrogen as its power source and water driblets as the output of your engine. Hydrogen is the input, water is the output, and in the meantime, your car is going.
Well, by damn, that party's simple.
All right, Huckabee, who all of a sudden surged in the polls, looks like he's going to win a couple of these primaries coming up in, what, February? Our Arkansas bureau chief, Joyce, sent this to me, and it, I think it bears sharing. She writes, "Hi, Mike. Listening to Len's remarks on your program the other night about how he was impressed with Huckabee, until hearing of his involvement with the pardon of Wayne Dumont, made me think of others, mainly independents and some Democrats, who may be hoodwinked by Huckabee's so-called nice guy demeanor. The Dumont case was just the tip of the iceberg. Your listeners and the public need to know how this greedy, smooth-talking, untruthful Southern Baptist preacher operated during his tenure as governor of Arkansas. The media, at least until now, have not fact-checked his erroneous remarks. One of his final acts as governor was to have the hard drives smashed on dozens of state-owned computers in the governor's office. His lame excuse for this costly destruction was that it was done to protect personal information, such as Social Security numbers, etc. Yes, and those razorback hogs really do fly. He was continually investigated by the State Ethics Committee during his governorship. Charges ranged from accepting illegal, quote, gifts, end quote, to personal misuse of state funds. One wealthy benefactor had his tailor-made wardrobes replaced each time Huckabee's obesity fluctuated up and down. He reminded many of the old-time Sunday circuit-riding preacher expecting a handout at each stop. He's been busy this past month traveling through Texas, preaching at multiple mega-churches each Sunday. Huckabee is introduced as the newly appointed, quote, David, end quote, who will conquer Goliath, eliciting screams, swaying, and upraised arms from thousands in attendance. He linked up with televangelist and so-called healer Kenneth Copeland, who speaks in tongues, for six TV spots. Copeland's focus is money, preaching that Jesus was wealthy and his followers are entitled to physical health and prosperity. But, of course, to receive, you must first give, quote, to open the door to blessings, end quote. Huckabee has always seemed envious of that guy named Bill from his hometown in Hope, Arkansas. He was against the Clinton Presidential Library, which is located in Little Rock. A group from Texas planned to build an anti-Clinton library with shuttle services available from the authentic site. Huckabee was in agreement with their plans. For reasons unknown, the counter site has never opened yet. Whenever Huckabee is short of cash during his governorship, he or a ghostwriter would write a book distributed by a religious publisher. Shortly after the school shooting in Jonesboro, Arkansas, that killed seven, including the two shooters, plus nine injured, his book appeared, Kids Who Kill, Confronting Our Culture of Violence. He received a $25,000 advance, plus later royalties. He balked at suggestions from reporters and others that he donate some of the profits to the victims, stating he planned to use it for college costs for his kids. In addition, he was apparently too busy to return to Arkansas from his vacation in the Bahamas to attend the memorial service. By contrast, a little-known fact is that Hillary Clinton donated all the profits from her book, It Takes a Village, to children's hospitals. He claims that he's the only one who can beat Hillary because he's run against her four times and knows what a tough opponent she can be. When? Where? How? Neither of the Clintons have ever run against Huckabee. There's so much more. It's all easily researched. Just this week, 36 hours after the National Intelligence Estimate report was released and discussed nonstop on the news, he was asked about it, and he was clueless. Didn't know what in the hell the reporter is talking about. It said, those who like Bush will love Huckabee. Huckabee has stated publicly that the reason he's surging is because God is on his side. That's from our Arkansas bureau chief, who should know about things regarding Arkansas. One last thing here, and then I want to go to your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. The peace conference at Annapolis. Was it Annapolis? Yeah, the military academy, the naval academy, the other day. Remember Bush's toy peace conference? Remember that? Huh? The Israelis, Palestinians, and representatives from 50 different countries. Crazed Arabs, recalcitrant Jews, Muslims who would just as soon see every Jew dead, Jews who would just as soon see every Muslim kicked out of, or every Arab kicked out of Israel, Palestine. I mean, it was a real circus. It was a joke. It was a laugh. I don't think anybody on the planet took it seriously. They couldn't even agree, the Israelis and the Arabs, on a pre-conference statement of intent. Nothing. It was something to make Chucklenuts look presidential. Oh, hi, I'm a war president, and I'm also trying to find peace. Oh, freak. Well, here's an update. Israeli tanks and bulldozers pushed into the southern Gaza Strip today, killing 5, quote, Islamic militants, end quote, and trapping hundreds of people in their homes, while another, quote, extremists, close quote, died from an airstrike elsewhere in the territory. The incursion, Israel's broadest since Hamas seized control of the coastal strip last June, the incursion came a day before the first Israeli-Palestinian peace talks in 7 years, casting a pall over the negotiations and underscoring the threat that Hamas poses to implementing any accord. Palestinian officials said the offensive, along with a construction project in the Har Homa neighborhood of disputed East Jerusalem, threatened to sabotage the talks. Blah, blah, blah. This is written by Ibrahim Barzak and Amy Teibel for the Associated Press. You can check it out yourself. What a sad, sad story. To your phone calls, AJ, the music factory, who's been holding on since God was a teenager, calling from the Catskills. Hey, AJ.
Hey, handsome. How you doing tonight?
Fair to partly cloudy. How about you?
Better dead than red.
Well, that's very true.
Yep. I wanted to talk a little bit about the shootings, the shooting in Colorado.
Yeah.
A couple of things struck me, so I'd like to address that, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
But first, a poem.
And now!
there were three things that struck me about the Colorado shooting, other than the fact that Omaha was on Wednesday, and by Saturday we'd forgotten about it because it happened again somewhere else.
It's awful. It's just...
Just kind of ho-hum, you know, a few more people are shot up and nothing's done about it. But the things that struck me were that... First of all, I find it ironic that these people keep, you know, praying to Jesus, and Jesus will save us, and Jesus will protect us, and they're being taken out by their own broken people,
mm-hmm.
by broken versions of themselves. And if there was ever a testament to this idea that faith without works is dead,
mm-hmm.
that's it. That instead of ministering to these people. You know, one of the things that set this guy off was that he was asked to be taken in,
right?
And he wasn't, and so you know, there's a lot of Jesus talk, but absolutely no compassion whatsoever. Then the other thing that strikes me again and again and again is that it's a white crime. In a land where we are so bigoted against people of color, and I'm speaking not exclusively but especially to you, American South.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the white people who are going into these conservative bastions, churches and malls, and shooting up people, and that kind of interests me. That, you know, we as a nation haven't really caught on to that yet. We haven't said this needs to be looked at.
Well, in regard to that statement, I think over the course of my radio career, a couple of times, AJ, I have commented on, I have commented on the fact that most of these mass killers, if not, I'm sure it's not exclusive, I'm sure you might find an Asian, a person of Asian descent, or occasionally a person of African descent, but for the most part, as you point out, it's white people who just go over the top and decide, well, I'm depressed, I want to die, I think I'll kill seven people along with me. It's really, really gruesome.
Yep. And if you can wade through the horror and the hypocrisy and the sensationalism by the media of each case, you find at the heart of it a tragic figure, a broken person, all too often young. Mm-hmm. It's horrible.
Hey, hold on a second, AJ.
Yep, no problem.
Let me do a commercial or two here. We'll be right back. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Kennedy saved us from Al Gore. An evil ace that trickles down and shipping jobs offshore. He wishes all them unemployed was not trying to tax his wealth. Your brother's keeper just don't apply because it's everybody for himself.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, back to AJ, the music factory, who's called in from the Catskills. Okay, back to what you were saying, AJ.
Yeah, the third thing that had struck me about the Colorado shootings was at the end of it, this security guard who emerged who said that she had taken him out. And
now it turns out the guy really committed suicide, though.
Yeah, that's sort of immaterial to what I noticed, which was that she said was that, you know, she prayed to Jesus and she prayed to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that it was as if the Holy Spirit was guiding her. Am I the only guy in this perverted country who thinks that is gruesome,
that
is sick and twisted?
No, but it's a clear example of a certain form of dominant Christianity in this country now, Protestant Christianity.
It made me wonder that maybe stupid in the White House is right. This is a holy war. These people are armed and ready to take out people. You know, I checked the scriptures. There's nothing in there about retribution and taking people out, not in the New Testament, and certainly not anything by their founder.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes against everything that they talk about dying for the faith, about offering the other cheek. And you know, the thing is that if she had just shut the hell up and said, this is what I'm paid to do, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I did it with great regret, and I will think about it for the rest of my life, I would never have blamed her for saying that. But to say that this was divinely guided.
Oh, I know.
I just found it absolutely perverse.
I agree, and what you just said is one of the reasons that I have, you know, while I claim my non-theistic worldview proudly. Not that pride is a necessary element, but I just claim it. I'm not ashamed of it. But it also, what you just stated, is one of the reasons why I have absolutely no problem busting the living hell, so to speak, out of these phony-ass Christians who compose the base of the Republican Party, because they're no more Christian than I am.
They're considerably less human.
Absolutely.
Mike.
They turn my stomach. Anyone who does it for God, guts, and glory, you know, pick up a gun, you know, I'll kill you in the name of Jesus. You know, to me, that is beyond sick. It's beyond perverted. It's a psychopath.
Yep.
It's somebody who is truly, seriously demented. And the fact that they drag this 2,000-year-old religion into the pit with them, it just makes it even worse.
Yes. It's almost beyond comprehension. Mike, before I go, I want to make a quick plug. Liza DiSavino, who wrote the theme song to unreportednews.net's program on at 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Time, out of KPHX, who beyond my understanding is also my wife, and I, will be on Sarge's program again this Sunday.
Oh, cool.
So I wanted to make a plug if people want to hear a little bit more of us than when I talk to you. I keep trying to get Liza to call you. Maybe I'll light a fire under her next week. And
10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Sorry? No. 10, did I say 10 p.m.? Thank you for clarifying that. 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
10 a.m. Eastern Time, Sunday morning,
which
means the program is done out there at what, 7 in the morning?
Something like that. And you know what I would urge people is to just double-check my information, because we haven't been on his program since, maybe the summer or early fall. And so I don't remember whether it's 10 out here or 11. I'm pretty sure it's 10 on the East Coast.
All right, and that's
but we will be on.
Check KPHX's website, and you'll get all the information you could possibly need, right?
And Unreported News website as well.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good, AJ.
All right. Peace, and peace to Kathy as well.
And it's better red than dead.
Better dead than red.
I mean, better dead than red. Better dead than red. I got it. All right. Thanks, AJ.
Peace.
All right. Take care. I got to get that right. Better dead than red. Yeah. Len is calling from New York City. Len, welcome to the program.
Good evening. Good to hear people are checking up on Huckabee out in Arkansas.
Yeah, it is, especially our Kansans who are doing the checking, people who live there, who know him.
After hearing about all these shootings, I realized there actually is a war on Christmas. It's just not coordinated. It's being conducted by the mentally ill, who pick up guns more readily around this time of year.
It's
so there must be a war on Christmas.
It's just so bizarre. It's just so bizarre, I swear to God.
Did you ever read Vince Flynn novels?
No, I'm not familiar with that person.
It's relatively new stuff, I think. I read a bunch of them. You know, the main character is a guy from the CIA, who's sort of like a super cop. He's the guy who does the dirty work. You know, he finds the bad guys in the dark holes around the world, and, you know, does it right. And it's just, you know, it's great fiction, and, you know, it's just juxtaposes the total incompetence. I mean, my book of the week that I'm reading right now is this new one, 8 o'clock Ferry to the Windward Side. It's about Guantanamo Bay. The indiscriminate random incompetence, you know, and the number of people, you were guessing something like 20 people were killed. Tortured to death.
Yeah.
Oh, who the heck knows how many, you know?
Well, that's the point. I mean, who knows? And the really sick part, Len, is in today's America, who cares? Really, who cares? Len, I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Stick around, Truth Seekers. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
like a bird on a wire, like a drum in a midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a hook, like a knife from an old-fashioned book. I have saved.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Back to your phone calls. Muy rapido. BJ is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. BJ, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
And it's great talking to you. I've been a long-time fan, and I usually listen to you late at night when I'm coming home from work. I'm actually a psychologist, and... you lift my spirits. I just, first of all, a couple things I want to talk about, but one, I just wanted to say, just really keep doing what you're doing. I've been, following you since you were on Air America and went through that kind of, that process. And,
process indeed.
I'm being nice, but I really appreciate your passion and your courage, and I went to your website and your willingness to speak, truth, to power. I'm a psychologist. I'm African American, and my journey to my PhD took a varied way. I struggled with substances, and even was incarcerated, and was able to overcome a lot of that by hard work and determination. But
wow, that's impressive.
I've learned some lessons along the way, and by the way, I'm also a fellow agnostic, so you know how that is in the recovery field. I'm considered a maverick right now. I'm actually a clinical director of a large agency, but. There's a couple things I just want to say to America and just want to reiterate for you, and that just to validate what you say, and that is this notion that Democrats or progressives can win by reasoning with fundamentalists and a lot of the – and I don't know what the difference is between a Republican and a far-right Republican because,
yeah.
I mean, it's the same, but they're bullies. And psychologically speaking, and I keep trying to tell people, is that there are some cases where you need to just step to a person and let them know that you're not going to take it anymore. I mean, when I was locked up, there were a lot of mean predators out there, and none of the reasoning in the world would matter because they didn't care. They were egocentric. They're narcissistic. They had a lot of hubris. And if you really want it to get their attention and to get them off you and to get their respect, you needed to step up to him and hit him in the mouth as hard as you could and let him know that you weren't going to take it anymore. And I do not get why Democrats, we've been voted in, we've been beat on, lied to, manipulated for the last 10, 12 years, and we continue to take this diplomatic, nice, I'm higher ground, and if I reason with you enough, it'll be okay, and Republicans keep just beating us over the head with lies and misdirection, and we don't get it. It's like we're afraid to stand up to them, and which psychologically reinforces them doing exactly what they're doing. If you want somebody to stop doing what they're doing, what you need to do is send a message that you're not going to take what they're doing anymore.
That's true.
And we do exactly the opposite. So
let me ask you, how does that make you feel?
BJ,
I'm just kidding. I've always wanted to ask a psychologist. Wanted to say to a psychologist, how does that make you feel?
Really?
Because I did a lot of therapy, pal, and I can't tell you how many times my therapist would say, well, Mike, how does that make you feel?
I get it.
Just had to say it one time.
You got me good too. But I'm actually a different kind of therapist. I'm actually a choice theorist. I believe in solutions. I'm very practical. I'm an agnostic, so I don't go for this mythology around divine intervention and that. I mean,
you don't believe in the let go, let God point.
Absolutely not.
No.
In fact, I'm kind of a maverick out here, but I'm also published. I'm well respected now in the industry. I finished at the top of my class. I'm one of the few people who've been on one side of it, had a state number, and now have a PhD. But I actually, at my agency, starting this week, community support for people that are seeking recovery that's not 12-step. They don't have to profess a belief in a higher power. They don't have to work the 12 steps. They don't have to say they're powerless.
Is this like rational recovery or?
Yeah, this is actually called Life Ring.
Life Ring?
Right, yeah. Rational recovery is down south and a lot of online. This is Life Ring, secular recovery. It's actually started in the Bay Area, and there's some of it in New York.
Yeah, I have a friend who, in fact, is in New York who has done rational recovery in order to, break free of alcohol addiction, and it's worked real well for him.
Sure. Well, it's based on reason. I mean,
sure.
Not myth. I love it when you take these guys on. But the other thing I wanted to say, share with you, just as an African American, highly educated, been in the streets, I really want us to take back the country. I do not. It really frustrates me to see the tentativeness of the group that me and you profess to belong to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm backing Senator Edwards, and I know a lot of people don't get that, but the fact is that Senator Edwards, I believe, based upon the demographics of this country, has the best chance as a Democrat progressive of winning. Because just as the gentleman a couple of times before, the last couple I've been listening for a little while, talked about the kind of covert racism in the country, I'm just going to tell you that psychology is a real thing, and there is a tremendous amount of subconscious and covert racism. And I just think that even though there's Oprah's out stomping and there's a lot of hoopla around Obama, and I like him and I'd love to see him be president, the fact is I do not believe if he is our nominee that this country, especially a lot of white men who would be very anxious about having a black male president, would be able to pull that trigger. And I just think, and the thing is, I think this, Mike, is anybody that would have voted for Obama is going to vote for Senator Edwards. I mean, they're going to vote for Senator Edwards versus vote for Giuliani or McCain or Huckabee. And Hillary Clinton has such high negatives. This is still a very patriarchal society. That we're not going to elect a woman. They're not going to elect that woman. Her negatives are, I think the Republicans are really touting her up, saying how wonderful she is. Because I think they want her to win our nomination because I think that she makes an easier target than either Obama.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think that's one of the reasons Rupert Murdoch is backing her. But I think you're right. A lot of people may like Obama, but you're correct. This country is not at the point yet where the racism that's been going on here for about 350 years, it can be overcome. That's A and B and C. Somewhere down there, D maybe, is the fact that Obama is an extremely young man. I think Washington politics would devour him. In that regard, I think probably the best candidate for that murderous infighting would be Hillary Clinton, who's lived through it. However, I agree with you on Edwards. Edwards is not my first choice. My first choice is Dennis Kucinich. But the more, Kathy, my wife, my producer, is really, really, really leaning towards Edwards. And I understand exactly what you're saying. I think he does have a chance if he can pull out of a couple of these primaries. I think you're right. BJ, we have to stop now.
That's all right, Mike. I've been trying to get your number. You never announce it. But when
I know,
home,
I don't. But that's something else I've always wanted to say to a shrink, too. We have to stop now.
I know. That's good. Well, I will be a regular caller. I had to go on the internet, look you up.
I'm sorry. I do not give the number enough, but you got it now. So do check in once in a while. Thanks a lot, pal. I appreciate
you. Yeah,
all
right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Take care. I got a chance to do it! The two things I've always wanted to say to a psychologist. How does that make you feel? And, okay, well, listen, we have to stop now. We'll pick this up. Let's see, when are you coming back? Next Tuesday at 10:30. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Look around and say, what do I see? guess I'm going, I'm alone, just a little crazy.
Don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Is that all? I want to hear more of that. I've never heard that one. 22 past the hour. Josh is calling from Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome to the program, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I tuned in at the tail end of that letter that you were reading about Bernie Ward. And unless I entirely missed the context, it seemed to me like she was... chastising you somewhat for not, immediately rushing to this guy's defense. And
I think rather than I think she was chastising me a bit, but not for immediately running to his defense. I think it was for not being strong enough in questioning the charges against him. And all I can say is what I said in response to her letter, that it is a knee-jerk reaction on my part, but it's because, if you spend 5 or 6 years hearing nothing but case after case and literally hundreds of millions of dollars going from the coffers of the Church of Rome to pay off so many people who were so brutally sexually abused by so many Catholic priests. And then you hear story after story after story of people who are caught involved in pornography or child pornography or whatever, saying, well, all I was doing was researching. I'm actually going to write a book. When you hear enough of that over and over and over and over, at least for me, I'm not dumping this on anybody else. When I hear that over and over and over again, yes, my first reaction when I hear of charges against somebody, whether they're left, right, gay, straight, man, woman, Jew, Gentile, I'm sorry. My first reaction is going to be drifting towards the side of there must be something to the accusation, or in this case, the indictment. Now, when I have a chance to stop and regroup and think, okay, wait a second, you're reacting here, you're not thinking, then, I may change what I had to say. And that's what I tried to do tonight. But, I've really had my ass kicked by a couple of people who have emailed that I just haven't, I haven't shared them on the air. Sometimes I get the feeling people are waiting for me to make a blatant screw up like that so they can jump in and start saying, boy, Malloy, you're a real jackass. Okay, fair enough. But at least I will come on the air, unlike most other talk show hosts, left or right, and claim my asininity and my moving too quickly to not a conclusion, but to an observation that may not be what these other people want to hear me say.
I agree with everything that you've said. I mean, I think your initial instincts, are correct. It just doesn't add up in this day and age, the excuses that he made. And, of course it's going to raise a red flag. And, of course you're innocent until proven guilty, but, it doesn't look good. And
well,
I don't think you should feel bad about, knowing what you know and all the information that's out there, you know.
And right, but on the other hand, and this is where I feel like I'm in an argument sometimes with myself, on the other hand, you know, I know who Bernie Ward is, and I know that he's been a huge thorn in the side of right-wing Republicans from the Bush crime family all the way down to whatever Republicans exist in the San Francisco area. I also understand that closing down voices of dissent in this country is a primary directive right now of these neo-Nazis and neoconservatives on the right. I'm surprised that nobody has made a move towards me. Yeah, I've got things in my past. The time when I set fire to a elementary school, and of course nobody was in there, but I. No, I'm just kidding. Kathy's head just snapped up, and she looked at me like, "What?"
Well, no. I think once you bring kids into it, that transcends any kind of political ideology.
Well,
I have kids, and I'll tell you
sure.
what I mean.
But the bad guys know this also, Josh. The bad guys know. The bad guys being the Bush crime family, they know. That all you have to do is drop a charge of assault against a child, especially sexual assault, and a lot of people will go immediately blank as far as saying, "Well, let's hear the other side of the story." And
yeah, well, so you know, something like this. I mean, you know, it sounds like they have records. You know,
I know. Well, we'll certainly see. Josh, I got to leave there. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. We have a bunch of open lines, Two Seekers, and another half hour of the program. So get in here and join us if you like. 800-989-1480. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Just to the writer's ideologies engage. Suddenly it's repression moratorium on writing. What did they think the politics of panic would invite?
Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
Yeah. 25 before the hour, David Korn, late of The Nation magazine, and now I believe his new job is at Washington Bureau Chief or the Washington Editor for Mother Jones, one of the two. Anyway, there's a blog up about, among other things, Huckabee, and this is kind of interesting. David writes, as I've noted previously and elsewhere, Huckabee gave a rather intriguing speech at the NRA in September, during which he deftly merged his heartfelt evangelical beliefs with his deep passion for gun rights and hunting. He recalled the time he was in an antelope hunting contest in Wyoming. After several hours of stalking prey on a miserably cold, windy, and snowy day, Huckabee had his chance. An antelope was 250 yards away, but right at the edge of his range as a shooter. Then a miracle happened. Here it is in Huckabee's words, quote, I decided that one way or the other, this hunt is about to be over because I can't stand any more of this cold. And somehow, by the grace of God, when I squeezed the trigger, my Weatherby 300 mag, which has got to be the greatest gun I think ever made in the form of a rifle, for my sake in hunting, I've never squeezed the trigger and not gotten something, but my Weatherby did its work, and somehow the angels took that bullet and went right to the antelope, and my hunt was over in a wonderful way. End quote. And then David writes, thanks to those angels, that elk was dead. After hearing that speech, I sent an email to the press office of the Huckabee campaign asking if the former Arkansas governor does believe that angels literally intervene in the affairs of human beings and that such intervention includes hunting events. I received no reply. I tried again. Still silence.
I think Chaney just got a chubby after that one.
I think probably so. Thanks to Rage and Lefty for sending me that. Oh, my God. I fired at the elk, and the angels took the bullet. 250 yards. Oh, bat squeeze. He didn't get that shot.
Not unlike when God reached, or the angel reached down and spared Abraham's son Isaac from the point of the dagger poised over his body on the altar, right? I mean, angels do that with weapons.
You got to love them. You got to love these psychopaths. Back to your phone calls. Jan is calling from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, I believe, in Canada. Is that right, Jan?
Yes, it is, Mike. I haven't spoken to you for a few years now.
That's true.
I'm a Canadian long-haul trucker married to an American.
There you go. I remember now. How you doing, Jan?
I'm doing not too badly. We live in Canada now. My wife had enough.
Had enough of the U.S.?
She, as she put it, she was ashamed to be an American. We live up here in Saskatchewan now.
I'm getting close to that. How big is Moose Jaw?
Moose Jaw is a fair-sized little town. It's a few hours from where I live. I'm just trucking on my way through.
I guess
that's about 20,000.
20,000. That's a major metropolis in Canada, isn't it?
Well, in Saskatchewan, it's not major, but it's getting on for a fair size. Saskatchewan is one of the least populated provinces. It's only 1 million people.
I'll tell you, I love Canada. When I have traveled in that part of the world, as George Bush would say, I'm just amazed that there is such a vast space and so few people. It's just stunning.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as Wyoming.
Almost. But the real reason you called, Jan.
Yes, sir. cbc.ca/thecurrent.
The Current? That's a program,
yes,
on CBC?
A morning news program. They had an interview with a colonel who was barred from testifying before the Senate committee.
Oh, really? They had an interview?
20 minutes, and he laid everything out, including his having been banned from testifying.
That would be Morris Davis. I wonder when that interview is going to be made available on American radio or television. Ha, 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 ha.
You might find it on NPR at some time, but you can download it as a free podcast from cbc.ca/thecurrentpodcast. It was on yesterday morning.
I'll check it out for sure, Ewan.
And it was a 20-minute interview. He laid out names, dates, times, places, who called him, who's been ducking, how the prosecutions came about,
mm-hmm,
his own feelings, and when the tide turned for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have probably what he said in that interview. I have. He wrote an op-ed piece for the L.A. Times on December 10th, which was, what, yesterday, Monday? And I've got that here in front of me. I was going to reference it tonight, but too many other topics came up. But I will check that out. He seems to be a man of honor.
He very much came across that way in the interview.
Uh-huh.
And he said that he had been barred from testifying.
Yeah.
And the interviewer mentioned along those lines, and he said, well, they didn't quite figure out that I would be national in Canada.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Which, that program is also put out over Sirius and on the CBC channel 137.
Yeah, that's right. And I've got Sirius. So yeah, I fluctuate back and forth between CNN, BBC, and CBC when I'm out and about, because I've got it in the van. And I'll have to start listening more to CBC, because I know there's some good programming there. Hey, Jan, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say there's an awful lot on the current that is very current about the situation in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and an awful lot that comes out that you just can't get on the air down in the States.
No, you're absolutely right.
I'm the same as you. I bounce Sirius Left, BBC, CBC, and occasionally if I'm really desperate to see what's being lied to us about CNN.
Yeah, there you go. Jan, thank you. I got to leave there, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot, Jan. Take care. Take care of yourself. Don't be a stranger. Don't wait 4 years to call again. Pat is calling from Eureka, California, listening on KGOE. Hey, Pat.
Yeah, hey. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Mike, I didn't catch the first hour. We don't have it here in Eureka. But it's about the Bernie Ward thing. Has anyone mentioned the fact that he and a reporter from the Examiner in San Francisco were the ones who broke the first stories of the priest and the pedophilia and the and embezzlement and
not that I'm aware of.
This happened. Oh God, I have no sense of time at all. Some years ago, several years ago, 3-4, I don't know. But
uh-huh.
Check it out. It's yeah, they broke the story and of the first instance of this and caused the Vatican no. You just can't imagine what anger and harm and everything. And all I might add that the right wing was not pleased with this. And I heard you say that you hadn't decided yet about this. And I swear to God, I have. I think it's a setup, and I'm not sure how they did it. But they can do it. So I guess Google this and find out. It was a reporter from the Examiner, when it was still a paper,
right.
And Bernie Ward on the air. They broke the story of the pedophile priest. We had one up here, and they were all over the state. And from there, it just kind of spread over the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I tend to drift to your way of thinking, Pat, that it could very easily be a setup to nail Bernie Ward. That's what it's come to in this country. So, anyway, thanks for checking in, Pat. I appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
It's a beauty way.
The drum solo. Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums.
Oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not.
It is so.
Stop.
I learned, will you?
Take off, eh?
Oh.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Beauty, eh? Like magic, eh? It's coming in.
Well, that's
like... It's like it was sung by me.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew again tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered the program from our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX. And who also answered your calls. And if you listen online, provides all that wonderful music during the breaks. Billy Foster is our technical director. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. And once again tonight, we'd like to welcome Columbus, Ohio, WVKO, 1580 AM. Hi, y'all. HeadOnRadio.com, as in Head On Collision, HeadOnRadio.com, whom we haven't mentioned for quite some time. But anyway, I got an email from Bob at Head On Radio regarding the weapon that Governor Huckabee claims he used on the antelope. Now, I'm not familiar with a Weatherby 300, but apparently Bob is. He writes, Mike, Weatherby 300 mag, antelope, 250 yards? Yeah, it could happen, but damn, have you ever seen a Weatherby 300 mag round? It looks like a dadgum ICBM. The antelope meat was pre-tenderized by the time Brother Huckstraby got to it. Weatherby's a fine hunting piece if you're looking for bear, rhinoceros, or elephant. As we'd say here in the hills, too much gun. The only miracle an angel could have accomplished would have been keeping the poor animal from disintegrating on impact. Bob. Thanks, Bob. No, I'm not familiar. I have a Remington 30 caliber .06, among other. That's the only thing I've ever used for hunting, and I have to say I've never killed anything except pheasant, which I ate, and rabbits, which I just killed for the sheer thrill of murdering. They are, after all, rodents. No, I don't mean that. I'm you know, I wouldn't kill Thumper. But is a 300 mag, Weatherby 300 mag, it couldn't be the same thing as a 30 caliber Winchester rifle. Couldn't be. 30-06. Not a 30-30. I've got the old one. Anyway, back to Rich is calling from New Jersey, listening on the internet. Hey, Rich.
Hey, blessed be Mike. Happy Yule, happy solstice from one of your Wiccan friends.
Yeah, well, good to hear from you. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I want to thank you for being a non-believing defender of the old religion, in your belief in its in your attraction to its rituals and beauty of the season.
Yeah, it's the seasonal rituals that of the old religion that really move me. I guess because I am of the earth, I came from here, and I will disintegrate into here. So
you and me both, brother. I am with you 100% with that. The reason for my call precisely though was did you get a chance to see Cindy Sheehan's article on Common Dreams today?
I did not. Today?
It was published today on commondreams.org.
Okay.
You'll find it very interesting. It's very brief. It's written in a fairy tale form. It's called Once Upon a Time. But, like, I want to applaud you for being nice enough to not pass certain judgment on Nancy Pelosi for what you said about her, what was revealed today. On the other hand, when you read Cindy Sheehan's article, you will see that her disclaimers for not knowing exactly what might have been on those tapes and not being fully briefed to the extent maybe the harm it was doesn't really get her off the hook. Because the fact of the matter is, as Cindy points out, she knew that the king was still doing wrong and she's still a complicit in the war crimes.
Well,
and she still refused to put impeachment back on the table.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It's arguing how many angels dance on the head of a pin by deciding whether or not Nancy Pelosi is complicit in this Jane Harmon, Bob Graham, Porter Goss nonsense,
and Pat Roberts.
Yeah, it's almost like a theological discussion rather than a political discussion. You're right, and apparently so is Cindy Sheehan. Nancy Pelosi is standing in the way of the Constitution doing its work, And for that, I will forever be pissed off that she allowed this to continue. This Bush.
Well, Thomas Jefferson's Nature's God did not intend this, as you point out when you read the Declaration of Independence. That's for sure, Mike.
Yeah, I think you're right. Rich, thanks for checking.
Thanks so much. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Take care, pal. Wayne is calling from Boston. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
You are.
Yeah, it's good he brought that point. I was watching the O'Reilly Factor, and Duncan Hunter got on there, and at least this thug admitted that he thinks that waterboarding is not torture.
And you know Duncan Hunter is insane.
I know he's a thug, a bully, and all that.
Yeah, but he's also certifiable. Were I credentialed, I would declare him insane and do my damnedest to have him committed. But anyway, go ahead.
You know, he put Nancy Pelosi and Jane Harman right out there saying they knew it all along. He basically put them right out there. And if those two get reelected, there's something definitely wrong. This is an issue to get them out of there at least.
Well, but, you know, anything that comes from Duncan Hunter, if Duncan Hunter were to tell me that my program is 3.5 minutes from ending tonight, I would call him a filthy liar. I can't stand any Republican politician, Wayne, but there are certain Republican politicians that cause me to, what is it Stephanie Miller says, to get a little bit of vomit come up in the back of my throat. And Duncan Hunter is one of those people. He's just a vile, filthy human being as far as I'm concerned. Yes?
You have to put it like this. I just threw open my mouth a little bit.
Right. That's what Stephanie says. That's right. Oh, my God. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, Truth Seekers. We'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Do take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.